Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's Castle Report. This is Friday, the third day of May in the year of our Lord 2024. I will be talking about the foreign aid bill recently passed by Congress and signed by the President. My take is that its intent is both destabilizing and, most of all, hypocritical. In other words, it will not deliver what it has promised, and it will do far more harm than good. My beat today is war, once again. But along with war comes many other things, such as larceny, corruption, deception, most of all, hypocrisy. The foreign aid bill recently passed is my starting point. So what was in that bill? What did the President tell us it would accomplish? The President, in his own words, described what the bill would do. Quote, "It's a good day for America. It's a good day for Europe. And it's a good day for world peace. It's going to make America safer. It's going to make the world safer and continues America's leadership in the world, and everyone knows it. We're going to begin sending equipment to Ukraine for air defense munitions, for artillery, for rocket systems, and armored vehicles," end quote. The President's words, complete nonsense, of course, except for what would be sent. Not a single word was true. Let's look at what is actually in this roughly $95 billion of additional U.S. debt. Keep in mind, the bill contains no offset, so the entire amount goes right on the bottom line as debt. I have mentioned before that the U.S. has no money to give away, only debt, so future generations will pay interest on this, quote, gift for as long as the U.S. continues to exist. The aid package includes $60.8 billion for Ukraine, $26.4 billion for Israel, $8.1 billion for Taiwan and other Indo-Pacific allies, and $9.1 billion in humanitarian aid to Gaza. Yes, yes, you heard that right, folks. The U.S., through its debt, will fund both sides of the Israeli-Gaza war, just to make it worse. The humanitarian aid to Gaza highlights the total and complete hypocrisy of the whole thing. Officially, the aid package is entitled, quote, "Migration and Refugee Assistance and International Disaster Assistance." The amount going to Gaza is so huge it amounts to more than four times the annual GDP of the entire Gaza Strip. So Gaza will soon be swimming in American money. The money's also on top of the $10 billion given to Gaza's proxy boss, Iran, last year. Gaza is completely controlled by Hamas, which launched the October 7, 2023 attacks, which began the war. I've seen estimates that only about 20% of humanitarian aid ever makes it past the hands of the Hamas terrorists. Just to reiterate, the U.S. is giving more than $26 billion for Israel's defense against the same people the U.S. is giving more than $9 billion to. It's more than a cliche to say that the U.S. has never met a war it couldn't make worse. Morton Klein, president of the Zionist Organization of America, summed it up, quote, "Biden and this administration knows that almost all of it, that is, the aid, is stolen by Hamas. That leads to an inescapable conclusion. We are funding Hamas. Do you realize the nightmare of this? We are funding Hamas with $9 billion. What's wrong with this administration?" End quote. What it really means is that the U.S. taxpayers and their progeny will be taxed to provide for the upkeep of terrorists in Gaza under the guise of humanitarian aid. That money, along with $10 billion of sanctions relief provided to Iran, should fuel jihadi terrorism in the Middle East and around the world for years to come. This bill was completely bipartisan. You know what that means. When the evil and stupid parties come together for bipartisanship, yes, folks, it's both evil and stupid. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said, quote, "Israel's very survival is at stake," end quote. Those clever Israelis, they don't seem all that worried about it because they spend only 5.3% of GDP on defense. Shouldn't a nation whose very survival is at stake commit totally to its defense, as allied nations had to do in World War II. They don't have to because they have America, the essential nation, to cover the cost for them. You can see that my real purpose in this report is to present the total madness and total hypocrisy of this entire project. The bill also includes a larceny element, as I said earlier. The bill allows the U.S. government to confiscate or steal property, including bank deposits belonging to Russians. This, once again, makes clear the hypocrisy of the entire thing. It's all dressed up in fancy language, but when you cut through the stylish exterior, it stinks to high heaven. The property stolen from Russians will be given to Zelensky and Ukraine to do with as they see fit. The vote in the House was not as easy as the president thought it should be, but eventually it passed. Many Republicans opposed the bill without some provision in it for U.S. border security. Enough of them, however, led by Speaker Mike Johnson, came together with Democrats to pass it. The president said it should have come faster, but what it means is that America stands with our friends. We stand against dictators. We bow to no one, especially not to Vladimir Putin. That's complete hogwash, of course. Just about the opposite of the truth. Mitch McConnell, second only to Lindsey Graham as chief warmonger in the American Senate, agreed with the president that the bill should have been passed earlier, much easier. The reason he gave for taking so long to pass it was that Tucker Carlson disagreed with it. When asked about it, he said, quote, "You know the reason, Tucker Carlson." That sentence amounts to a Nobel Prize or some other such prize for Tucker as about the only real journalist remaining out of prison. It is indeed incredible that a mere talk news host could stop or delay a bill such as this monstrosity from being passed. I assume that when all neocon warmongers managed to get Tucker fired from Fox, they thought he would no longer be a problem for them, but they were wrong. It's now very clear why he was fired, if it was not already clear. However, with his own internet talk show, he has far more viewers than he had on Fox. The people must appreciate hearing at least one voice in opposition, so they tune in to his interviews, his commentary by the millions. That gives me hope, because sometimes I sense that there is no one left with the courage and integrity to depart from the acceptable views presented to us by the ruling elite. I know the danger that Tucker is just a shill or a controlled opposition, but his interviews with the least accepted and most hated say otherwise. He gave an impartial interview to Vladimir Putin, which upset all those people who really need to be upset because their lies are being exposed. Americans were able to see that Putin is not the power-mad lunatic he is portrayed by American media. Either he is very different or he is an excellent actor. Recently, though, he's done something much worse than interview Vladimir Putin. He has questioned Israel and the U.S. relationship with Israel. He usually manages to report or state facts which are hard to refute because they are facts. Israel provides no advantage to the United States, he said. That was one of the facts that is hard to refute. That if that statement is not a fact, then what are the advantages that Israel provides to us? But the answer is not forthcoming. Tucker interviewed a pastor in Jerusalem named Munther Isaac, which caused the attacks to intensify. I watched that interview, and the pastor leads a Christian congregation that includes a lot of Palestinian Christians. He mentioned, among other things, that he appealed to the Israeli government to protect or save the Palestinian Christians, but his efforts were all refused. He is very concerned for the well-being of his people, as any good pastor would be. He was attacked up and down the line by the American media, who usually presented Israeli rabbis to attack him. He was accused of descending into moral relativism and muddying the line between good and evil. As an aside, I will point out that that line is sometimes pretty hard to discern, very muddy, especially considering that propaganda disguised as news today. He went to Moscow, told us he was, quote, dazzled by the city's gleaming subways and orderly fast food restaurants. Then he had the audacity to interview the world's leading despot and the world's leading liar. Well, good on you, Tucker. Keep up the good work. Back in America, we have some issues with what used to be called free speech, the powers that be. Whether Lyndon Johnson's administration or Joe Biden's administration would prefer that everyone sing from the same songbook, that has not proven to be the case over the years, primarily because of students at American colleges and universities. Those of us who continue the fight for freedom and individual rights, recognize that free speech has to be supported everywhere, especially in our university students, at least to some extent, turned the tide of opinion against the Vietnam War, which led to the American withdrawal. Now it seems they're trying to do the same thing with Israel's war in Gaza. How can American college students affect the policies of foreign governments? They can't, because they're here in America, but they can sure affect the policies of the American government. The demand is for America to cut off aid to Israel and demand a ceasefire to end what they call genocide in Gaza. Memes have started to appear referring to President Biden as Genocide Joe. It reminds me of the chant that was on the news constantly in 1966. Hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids have you killed today? We don't have to agree with those who protest. We may even hate their views, but we still must defend their right to speak and protest peacefully. That's the issue, of course. Is it peaceful? Is it depriving some other people of their right to be free of intimidation and, most of all, to attend a college to which they have paid tuition? Some universities, such as Columbia, for example, have closed classes for this school year. Some, including Columbia, have sent Jewish students home because it was too dangerous for them on campus. That's not peaceful protest. But what is causing all the violence, especially toward Jews, to spread among college campuses around the country? Attorney Alan Dershowitz tells us that George Soros is funding the radical pro-Palestinian groups on campuses around the country. According to Mr. Dershowitz, an organization called Jewish Force for Peace is a front group funded by Soros. That group has included many Jews protesting the genocide in Gaza. I saw an interview with one Jewish woman who said she was a Holocaust survivor, and what she endured as a child is what the children of Gaza are enduring right now. Soros is the enemy of all humanity, especially civilized humanity. His goal seems to be to destabilize the world through funding crime, violence, and those who want to use those methods. Right now, he's assisted in his efforts to reverse thousands of years of civilization by the method of warfare conducted by the Israeli Defense Forces, or IDF. What is that method? How has it failed to this point? Hamas is still functional, still conducting attacks. The war has generated very high casualties, especially among the civilian population of Gaza. Hamas, still intact, as I said. The hostages are still in their hands or dead. Civil unrest has been fueled in America, undoubtedly by jihadi penetration of American institutions, especially its universities. Finally, most important, the war in Gaza has been so poorly fought using aerial weapons that most of the world is on the side of the Hamas terrorist and thinks the Israelis are committing genocide. There's one other aspect of this saga that also has a George Soros feel to it, and that is control by the forces seeking global government. For example, the Biden administration has reportedly green-lighted the impending indictment of Israeli leaders by the International Criminal Court. Supposedly, in short order, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be indicted by the ICC as a war criminal, and an international warrant will be issued for his arrest. If that is true, then it doubles the hypocrisy of this administration. On the one hand, the Biden administration funds both sides of a war and wholly funds the continuation of another war which could not be fought without the administration's financial support. Then they approve the ICC's indictment of one of the leaders their money supports. They fund death, destruction, chaos, mass slaughter around the world. They do it with your money. Finally, folks, the things I've described are very shameful. The Biden administration would be ashamed if those who occupy it were capable of shame. They have sweet words, like making America and Europe safer, while they sell or give away death and destruction around the world. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.